This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along. The general election is several weeks out yet, but we are going to be talking today with two individuals who hope to take the seat that is being vacated by Kurt Mosser, the 107th District Representative in the Pennsylvania State House. We'll hear today from Democrat Ryan Mock, who is running a write-in campaign on the Democratic ballot. And we'll also hear from Joanne Stair, who was the GOP primary winner in the spring. Thanks for being with us on the program. Let's start with our Democratic candidate, and then we'll move on to Joanne, the GOP hopeful.
My name is Ryan Mock. My wife and I, we currently live in Cole Township with our dog Luna, and I grew up in Penn Township, Snyder County, so I didn't get the wonderful opportunity to grow up in the coal region, unfortunately. But I am a Sealand Grove high school graduate, graduated 2005, graduated from Susquehanna University in 2009 with a degree in political science. Since then, I worked a number of jobs, mostly retail, and then substitute teaching for the local school district. But currently, I am working as a commercial insurance agent and a part-time online social studies teacher.
What brought you to say, I want to run for public office?
I kind of always wanted to run to represent my district and make it a better place to live. But, I mean, I guess it kind of goes back to in May when I was in the voting booth, primaries, and I realized that Representative Massa was retiring and that there were two candidates for the Republican side. But when I went into the voting booth, there was no one running for the Democratic side, and I feel that people shouldn't run unopposed, regardless if they're Republican or Democrat. So I kind of kept that in my back pocket, and I started attending committee meetings for the Northumberland Democratic Committee. And basically, I was in a meeting with the chair of said committee, and I said, I kind of wanted to run, but I don't really know how to go about doing this. It's my first time. And she said, why don't you run? And I did not have a good answer for that question. So here I am.
And you're running as a write-in because you weren't on the primary.
Yeah, I am running as a write-in Democrat. It's going to be a challenge.
As a millennial, I'm assuming you're more focused on the social media.
You know, as a millennial, I do love my social media. I do have, you know, a Facebook page, and I have a Twitter, and I have TikTok, which I only have one video on there, but I'll be making a fool of myself soon enough, I'm sure. But my campaign, I do a lot of events as well. So I was at All Home Days in Elysburg, having a great time meeting people and getting to know different people and what makes them tick and what they're looking for in a representative. So I do a lot of in-person events, and we're going to start canvassing as well. So I'm going to be going door to door, so that's also important to get my face in front of people and get them to know who I am and what I stand for and how I plan to make this district better. We just actually opened up an office in Sunbury for the Democrats, right next to the Edison, so you can come visit us there, and I'll be there quite a bit.
I had a friend that almost in the same boat as you, saying there was no one else on the other side. I want to run to do this. But it's difficult when you're a Democrat in a district which is going to be heavily Republican. Do you kind of go into it with that in mind, thinking this is going to be an uphill battle?
Yep, I do have the uphill battle of not only being a write-in Democrat, but also of being a Democrat in a Republican-leaning district. So I acknowledge that my view may not be in lockstep with the Republican Party. However, I do feel that I have some great ideas on how we can make our district a better place to live, which is what a representative should do in the first place. So I want our working families to be paid enough to provide for themselves without having to rely on the government for assistance. I want to bring good-paying jobs to the district through investments in infrastructure and manufacturing. I want to make sure that everyone in our district has access to the ballot box, regardless of party, and that our elections are valid and secure. And then I also want to make sure that our education, myself being a teacher, I want to make sure that our education system is among the best in our state and that our kids have a bright and productive future. So I'm hoping that people will see that these are common sense issues that reach across the aisle and benefit all of us, not just one side.
Hopefully you wouldn't have to deal with a pandemic if elected, at least a new one. But what were your thoughts on how that's been dealt with?
As a Democrat, looking back, it was a mess. There was a lot of things that I would have done differently. The lockdowns really affected our small businesses disproportionately than the bigger box stores, so they had to close while our big box stores had to, got to stay open. And I just feel that public health information should be followed and strongly suggested, but I don't think we should have had mandates forcing people to do things. I think people are smart. People can see, what they need to do, and I feel that individuals should have a right to make healthcare decisions that best fit their situation, and businesses too. So I would strongly suggest following public health information, but I wouldn't mandate it.
Your thoughts on Dobbs' decision at the Supreme Court ending abortion rights as we knew them?
That is an incredibly divisive issue in this United States, unfortunately. I was very shocked when that decision came down, because following the confirmation hearings for Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, they both had said that Roe versus Wade was settled precedent, settled law. And they said one thing and did another, and I don't think that's good governance. But for me personally, as I said with the pandemic, I feel that an individual should have the right to make healthcare choices that best fit their situation without having the government barging in and, impeding on a moment that is decided best by a person and their doctor.
Gun laws, school shootings, in the news way, way, way too much. Do we need to change some things in Pennsylvania?
Well, I will say that I'm an Eagle Scout myself, so I learned from a young age how to responsibly handle guns. And people tend to think that Democrats are here to take away their guns. That can't be further from the truth, but there are some common sense things here in Pennsylvania that we can do that aren't currently in practice. The first thing that we could do is we need to mandate reporting of lost or stolen guns, which isn't being done in this state. And then we also need to create background checks for all guns, not just for handguns. So in Pennsylvania, to buy a handgun, you need to be 21 years of age, and you need to purchase that from a licensed dealer and undergo a background check. With a long gun, so your shotguns, your semi-automatic rifles, and your rifle, an 18-year-old can walk into a shop, buy a gun without a background check. I feel that that isn't the thing to do. I feel that all guns should have a background check, not just handgun. And then I also feel that for first-time gun purchasers, I think that they should undergo safety training to properly handle discharged firearms and to properly store them, specifically if they have a family. You need to know how to store those handguns and guns in general.
Everything you said sounds maybe even moderate, level-headed, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear you say the same things and say, this guy's an extremist. He wants to take my guns. How do you get past that polarization, especially running for a state office like this?
We do have an extremely polarized state of politics these days, and I just want to make sure that I am reaching out to the other side. I definitely think that's important. Bipartisanship is important. And if I am elected, I do plan to reach out to the other side, to reach out to Republicans, because like we had said, that this district is Republican and they deserve to have their voice heard too.
Democrat Ryan Mock running a write-in campaign for the 107th District State House seat. And with that, we move on to Joanne Steer, the Republican, on the ballot this fall. What prompted you to run?
Well, in the beginning, it was I just saw what my competitor was, and the district was very, very enticing. The West End of Schuylkill County, I worked there for 30 years in home health care and nursing. So I was familiar with the people and the places, and that's kind of what really turned my head to that's what I want to do. I did not want my friends and family falling into having someone who wasn't going to respect their values and their conservative values from our neck of the woods.
The current occupant of the seat, Kurt, mm-hmm. who's yes. been there for a decade or so,
yeah.
do you feel like he's been a good representative?
I think he's done a lot for him. I met with Kurt, and he actually drove me around to some of the different grant projects that they currently funded and stuff like that. He's brought a lot of money to the area. I was very impressed to see the veterans' apartments that they put up in Shamokin and Coltmont and Mount Carmel, some of the different areas. They work with a whole bunch of different people, the Five County Regional Coalition, the FAR, Faith Alliance Revitalization, SABRE, Shamokin, EDA, Economic Development Authority. And he had Ed Christensen with him, who works with HUD, who really, they've really done a wonderful job, and they have more projects on the way. He wanted me to show them, and should I assume the seat in November, that they wanted me to continue with these. And I said, absolutely. Okay. You know, if it's good for the people, it's a good thing.
So you kind of feel like you would be picking up where Kurt's leaving off as far as the values of the district.
Absolutely. The different projects he has going on would be something I would support 100%.
Has politics been on your mind for years? Or
well, it was 5 years of being with my dad, who was a avid Fox, Sean Hannity, O'Reilly fan, to bring me into my conservative values, of course. But it was more or less an opportunity for the 107th that I really found enticing to get into this position. My parents had just both passed, and I was nursed out. My mom had a metastatic breast cancer, and she had a massive stroke like 5 years previous. So I was caring for her and put my actual career on hold for the last 2.5 years. And then my dad became ill. So my mom passed in November. My father passed at the end of December, and I was nursed out, so I took a little bit of a break, and this opportunity came up, and I jumped at it. I thought, you know what, I've been in home health and did community nursing for 30 years. I've seen the struggles people have, and COVID, I think, really was the icing on the cake as far as somebody needs to be a voice for some of these people. You know, veterans have always been true to my heart. We did, we honor vet programs with our hospice programs where we would memorialize their stories and archive them in Washington, D.C. So I've always had a strong love for our veterans and people who have sacrificed for our freedoms. And COVID kind of really, with the mandates and masking and nursing home kabocles, we really just need to start taking some of our freedoms back, I think. And government overreach has been a big concern of mine.
One of the state representatives had just told me that the budget that just went into effect was pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about the current state of that? Where we're spending and what we're spending?
Well, I think our budget that went from 20 billion to 40 billion is pretty concerning when we have taxpayers who are on very limited budgets. You know, our real estate taxes, our school taxes. I said right from the get-go campaigning, I don't know if I can ever get rid of your taxes. I said, but I can be transparent enough to get back to you and tell you why something's not done about getting your taxes alleviated or gotten rid of. So, That's my campaign. I said, so in 2 years, when another politician comes knocking on your door and saying, we're going to get rid of taxes, that's not going to happen, because Joanne already came back and told us this is who has been sitting on their hands and holding this up. So, like I said, transparency is probably one of my campaign mottos.
What about term limits?
I am for term limits. I support term limits. I signed a disclosure and an oath that I would not run for more than 8 years or 4 terms, which would cut me out of any kind of pension. You have to be there 10 years to be eligible for the pension. And I said, that's okay. You know what I mean? We're not supposed to be. This is our little old ladies paying these taxes, and I'm okay with that.
Legalizing marijuana. Abortion now is big in the news.
On the abortion issue, I have conservative values. I am pro-life. But that being said, we're never going to get rid of abortion. Abortion is always going to be in our medical terminology. You know, there's spontaneous abortion. There's reason for abortion. Say a woman was pregnant with twins and one of the babies was not viable. We'd have to, you know, abort that baby. There's always going to be abortion. Should it be a method of birth control? No. You know, we're no longer in our door hanger abortion days where, oh, they're not going to be safe. We've gone from having safe and rare abortions to actually murdering a child, as it's being delivered or viable. In the state of Pennsylvania, you can get an abortion up to 24 weeks, which after 20, 21 weeks, a baby is actually viable. So, you know, those are considerations that we could think of. If I did that to a dog, a puppy, and started chopping up a dog when they come out, they'd arrest me and put me away. You know, are there certain circumstances that would allow a safe and legal abortion? Absolutely. I know the 15-week HARP bill would be something I could support. I mean, we have pills. If you have unprotected sex, your body, your choice, go take a pill and eliminate that possibility of an unplanned pregnancy.
And as far as marijuana, we went to medical marijuana, and there's been a lot of talk of recreational. Your thoughts on that?
Of course, I think safety, you know, driving under any kind of influence, I said, is a concern of mine. You know, the medical had a lot of positive things. What I am concerned about is people don't realize that when you're signing up for the card for medical marijuana, you're also signing away your Second Amendment rights. And you know, that's something I'm a staunch supporter of. You know, we need to keep our Second Amendment rights. If we give an inch, they'll take a yard, just like they did with the abortion issue. You know, we went from safe legal abortions to we can murder a baby up until the day they're delivered, and then after. So I think if we're going to start putting limitations on our do not infringe Second Amendment rights, you know, we start letting them tell us how much caliber we can have. We start letting them say what kind of guns we can have. There went our Second Amendment rights, because you already left us challenge you on some of the other issues.
Any other key things you're kind of focusing on in your campaign?
You know, protect our children. I think with the COVID, what they did with the nursing homes was very concerning to me. I had an Aunt Merle who was in the nursing home for Alzheimer's, and, you know, some days she had good days, some days she had bad days, and she was still able to recognize her family, and she just could not understand when she was waving her children to come in, why they weren't coming in, why wouldn't they, you know, and I think that is heartbreaking to me. You know, I think the government overreach with the mandates as far as masks and the non-common sense effects they had, you know, you could walk around the school without a mask, but when you got on the bus, you had to wear a mask. It's like, give me a break. You know, there was never any kind of peer review that they would produce as far as were the masks effective. And the mandates of vaccines, you know, our nurses went from heroes to zeros. You have to get the vaccine. And now they're coming out with all kind of VAERS reports, you know, the vaccine reports that, you know, how dangerous some of these vaccines are. So
you were out of nursing, though, till that.
Right, right. Okay. I was very fortunate. I was caring for my parents the time, so I was never under any kind of mandate. It was recommended to me, which I am unvaccinated. You know, we're finding out there are cures, you know, for COVID. I think if it was as pandemic as they said it was going to be, I mean, it's a real thing. COVID is definitely a real thing. People have died from COVID. But I think if it was as deadly, I think if we looked at California and places where people are living on the streets where they have the most compromised immunity around, you would see dead bodies all over the place. I think it was fear-induced, and I think it was for the reason of trying to mask us and mandate us and take away our liberties and our freedoms, and I don't think that's something we should ever give up so lightly again. I think we've learned our lesson. What was our small businesses collapsed. Our restaurant owners, like I said, our nurses, in order to be able to work, were mandated for this stuff. You know, this is still the United States of America. And I think, you know, we remember it on 9/11, how united our country was. If we could all just get that feeling like we are Americans and we're standing together like we did on 9/11, the world be a better place. This divisiveness on, you know, you have to either take a side of being masked or unmasked or be gay or straight or a black or white issue or race issues. Our country has become very divisive and pitted us against one another. And I think it's time we start having the same unity we had on 9/12. you know, 21 years ago, that we really embrace one another and come together. We are Americans, and this is the United States of America.
You just heard from Joanne Stair, the GOP candidate on the 107th State House ballot. And earlier we heard from Ryan Mock, who is running a write-in campaign as a Democrat. Election Day coming up on November the 8th. Thanks for being with us on today's program. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.